Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, I'm going to break down my formula for strength of schedule and what it means for college football going forward. So normally, when you're looking at strength of schedule, most media outlets are going to use last year's win-loss records to determine who has the hardest strength of schedule. Now, I think that is not only a lazy way to do it, but I also think it's very misleading and very inaccurate. Now, my way is a little bit different, and by no means am I saying it's perfect, but I do think it is an upgrade over the standard win-loss record from the previous year. And the main reason is how a team performed last year is not relevant to this year. Now, it is relevant in the way that, oh, well, we have good production coming back, you know, this team's experience, you know, that is relevant, right? But if they won 11 games last year and Vegas thinks they're only going to win 7 this year, then we can't treat those as the same team. It's just not, it's not even close to the same reality when it comes to that. So what I do is I go through every single opponent for every single team and their schedule, and I add up their Vegas win total. And so that means, you know, like if you're playing Georgia, they have 10.5 win total, and you're playing Kansas State also, that's 9.5. That would be a 20 win total, right? So, and I do that for every single team. And then obviously for Division One or for Division Two teams, I do not, it's just a zero. So it's only Division One teams that you're playing. And, you know, I add all that up. Whoever has the highest number has the hardest strength of schedule. Whoever has the lowest number has the easiest strength of schedule. Now, that might be an oversimplification, but I think it does matter. Now, I'm going to point out the flaws in that system. And it's the same thing. Like, so we have 6 teams, for instance, that have a 10.5 win total this year. Now, Liberty is one of those teams. Now, nobody is saying that Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Notre Dame, Texas, and Liberty are all on the same like field, you know, because that's not real. But to act as if Liberty is not a good team in respect to those other teams is kind of false. They are good. They're just good in their own sense. And they're good simply because they're going to be favored in pretty much every single game as Vegas sees it, right? So the most accurate way to make a strength of schedule, in my opinion, would be if you had access to Vegas power ratings, then you could make, you know, one yourself. Anyone who is making a projections or anything of that nature for power ratings for themselves, that's fine. You know, like, I'm not trying to, like, you know, shit on anybody's, you know, brainchild or their model or anything like that, right? But the thing is, like, sometimes it's best to realize what you're good at and what other people are better at. For instance, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I can make better lines than the people in Vegas who are sharper than anywhere else in the world, right? That's not my job. My job is to find value and beat those lines where I can, not make them. So if, and I'll tell you exactly how we would make them if Vegas was inclined to, you know, release power ratings or whatnot. The way we would do it is all we would need is for Vegas to release a line for every single game for the season before the season starts. Now, they obviously don't do that. They do have game of the year lines, you know, where you might see like, oh, the line for Michigan and Ohio State, or, you know, the line for Florida and Florida State, or, you know, Notre Dame, USC. You know, so we'll get a snapshot of, you know, those power ratings for those type of lines, right? But in reality, without all the data, we can't definitively say who would be favored over who in a certain area. You know, so in that reality, We just don't have that data. Now, when we look at NFL data, we do have the access to that, and we could technically put that together if we wanted to. But to stay on topic, you know, the method I have used to determine strength of schedule, in my opinion, is infinitely better than what the mainstream media uses. And it's the best option I have available to me. And so because of that, that's what I'm going to use. So with that being said, we're going to go over a couple of different, I don't want to say anomalies, but things that stand out to me when looking at the landscape of this year. And a couple of things that are going to stand out for when you're looking at playoff teams and when you're looking at trying to determine between Team A and Team B. You know, I think strength of schedule has a lot to do with that. And I think that is, you know, something that should be factored in when looking at certain certain teams. And whether you're weighing, you know, you could be doing a either or. That's an available betting option on like DraftKings where you can be like Alabama or, you know, Ole Miss, who's going to have more wins or something like that, you know. So this would give you more of a, you know, an insight line to that. To say. So I'm going to start off with a couple of things that really stand out to me, just, you know, that you would not think of normally, right? So there's a lot of talk, and I've said it before, that if the barometer to get into the playoffs is probably 10 wins. And I believe that. I believe, you know, getting to 10 wins is going to give you the best chance of making the playoffs. Now, that does not guarantee you're going to make the playoffs, obviously. But if you're a Big Four conference team, you get to 10 wins, you're going to be in the conversation at the very least, right? Well, this year, there are 20 teams that have a win total of 9.5 or more. So, obviously, not every one of those teams is going to surpass that, you know, but it's not far-fetched to think we will not have like 15 to 16, 10 win teams, right? That's just the reality of the situation. But you also need to take into consideration that any group of five team with just 10 wins, unless they are the best group of five team, like the highest ranked that won their championship, is not getting into the playoff. So if you're Memphis and you're 10 and 2 and you don't, and, or, you know, 11-2, or, and you didn't win your championship, you know, you're not getting in. You know, if you're Liberty and you're, you know, you went 11-1, you're not getting in, you know, unless you're the highest ranked group of five, whoever is left after that, not getting in, you know, so you need to remember that. So, you know, you're going to have some group of five teams that break the 10 win barrier who are just not going to have any chance of getting in simply because only one of them is going to get in. And that team is probably going to have to win, you know, 11 or more games, to be perfectly honest. And so you just keep that in mind and think about that, right? So the lowest, I would say the lowest I would probably go when it comes to, you know, getting in the playoff is that 10 win mark. I don't foresee anybody winning 9 games, losing 3 and making it into the playoff as an at large team. I don't think that is going to be a reality, and I don't think that's going to happen. Now, a couple of teams of note that stand out to me in this range. We're gonna dive right into the SEC. Ole Miss, now they have the 98th rated strength of schedule, one of the easiest strength of schedules in all of the Power Four and the SEC. It's the second or third easiest schedule in the SEC. So at 98th, you know, they have a lot of returning production. They have a, you know, a unique team. Now, they will have regression stats coming their way and win-loss categories, but that really, you know, that's going to be the dictating part of whether or not they can reach 10 games to win the playoffs, whether they cannot, right? Their strength of schedule is 98th. Tennessee's strength of schedule is 106th. And Missouri's strength of schedule is 115th. I mean, those are abysmal rankings when it comes to Power Four teams. To put that in perspective, you know, Memphis plays a harder strength of schedule than every single one of those teams I just listed. And I know people are going to be like, oh, well, you know, they play in the American Athletic Conference, you know, like, well, that's crazy. But, like, you know, we'll pull it up real quick. They are going to play, you know, Florida State, which is a team slated for 9.5 wins. They're going to play, you know, your South Florida, and then they play Tulane, and then they play UTSA. And those, now, even though, like, against a, like, oh, well, if we put an SEC team against that schedule, then, yeah, they're going to, you know, they're going to dominate. But, yeah, but that's not the point, though. Like, to say that that strength of schedule is, you know, I mean, UTSA, South Florida, Tulane, all of those teams are better than any of the bottom feeders and in the SEC. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that. So even though you might say, well, yeah, that conference, you know, is not nearly as strong, in theory, yes, that is correct. But when you're looking at it from the perspective that, oh, Memphis is going to play numerous teams that are, could be a potential problem, you know, that has to be taken into consideration, right? So what I've noticed a lot is some of the higher win total teams, they have some of the hardest strength of schedules. You know, like you have Georgia's 18th, Ohio State 26th, Michigan 9th, Alabama 11th. You know, those are going to be really, really tough strength of schedules. But to me, even though they're playing those hard strength of schedules, their win totals are very high, and they are going to be favored in the majority of their games. And so it's almost a wash, really. You know, unless I'm looking at teams like Michigan and Alabama who lose a lot of returning production, have a lot of change coming forward, you know, things of that nature, that is where, you know, I would give some pause to it. Now, when I look at a team like Georgia and Ohio State, yeah, they have tough strength of schedules, but I mean, they're really good. Their returning production profiles are amazing. And even though the strength of schedule could be something that gives you a little hesitancy, they're still going to outperform against the majority of those teams. And that's why, you know, they're projected to win 11 games. So that's a couple things that stand out to me right there. When we get into some regression teams, it's very noticeable and kind of in the mid pack, right? There's teams that I really am looking to fade. For instance, I'll give you, you know, this is someone we haven't talked about yet, but Northwestern is a team that I am really looking to fade. And the reason being is they have a lot of regression stats coming their way, right? But on top of that, they play a tough strength of schedule. So I'm looking at, like, okay, so I have, you know, Northwestern team, 5.5 win total, right? 30th strength of schedule, of a bottom 30 returning production for offense, right? So they're 5.5. It's the same win total for a team like, you know, Arkansas State, who is going to play an infinitely easier strength of schedule, returning quarterback, top three quarterback in their conference, you know, some continuity coming back, a lot of positive regression things going their way. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm looking at these two teams, right? Why would I try to make something harder? Like if I was an over better and I'm looking at Northwestern over 5.5, which I would never, because that's insanity to me. But I would be looking at the flip side to that, how, you know, okay, maybe I need to go a little further down and look at some more of these teams that have easier paths that, you know, that check more boxes, that make more sense, right? For instance, like, I don't understand how anyone in their right mind is going to look at Florida and be like, yeah, I'm taking over 4.5 games, you know, 4.5 wins, as they have the hardest strength of schedule in the entire country. And if we're going to be completely honest, I don't know. It could quite possibly be the hardest strength of schedule ever. And I'm just going to list these games, and I don't know how they get to 5 wins. I could be completely wrong, and they could surpass all expectations, but it's insane, okay? So they open up the year, Miami. It's a rivalry game at home, right? Then they have Samford, then Texas A&M, then on the road at Mississippi State, UCF, at Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State. That is insane. Okay, so basically what you're telling me is they're going to have to probably win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're probably going to have to win they're going to have to win 4 of their first 5, probably. Now, they're going to beat Samford. That's a given, hopefully. If not, then heads are going to roll. But they're going to have to win 1, 2, 3, 4. They're going to have to win 4 of these 5 games. Miami, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, UCF, Kentucky. They're going to have to win 4 of those 5. And I don't know how that's going to happen, because I don't think they're going to beat Texas A&M. I don't really know if they can beat Miami. And, I mean, UCF is, you know, that's not an easy non-conference game. Because there is probably no way they beat any one of Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State. Like, I don't know who is sitting here with an over 4.5 win Florida ticket and is just, you know, not already like smoking a pack of cigarettes from being nervous and anxious. I just don't understand it. And then, like, I go down to the next, you know, team, 4.5 wins for Arkansas, who has the 5th hardest strength of schedule. And then not only are they losing KJ Jefferson, they are also bringing in Bobby Petrino, one of the most vanilla offensive coordinators since the beginning of time. So the predictability of that offense is going to be, you know, that of like a middle school offense. And they lose their best quarterback in quite some time. So I can't get behind that, you know. And that's just kind of, those are the type of anomalies that when I look at, you know, the strength of schedule and just the win totals in correlation to that, I just can't wrap my brain around it. And, you know, we're looking at trying to find places where there's value, right? That makes sense, that we can like talk to. And I just don't see, these are just some of the areas that I've pointed out that just really don't make any sense to me. You know, like, I'm going to come back up to Michigan, okay? So they have a 9.5 win total, which to me is pretty high. I would have probably said 7.5 to 8, right? And they're 129th in offensive returning production, 91st in defensive returning production, and they play the 9th hardest strength of schedule. And, again, as everybody knows, an entire regime change across the board coaching staff-wise. I'm not here for it. I don't believe it. You know, I don't. If they got to 10 wins, I would be shocked. But they're holding steady at 9.5, and I can't wrap my brain around that. And then, you know, there's, you know, you got a team like, okay, Louisville, for instance. I don't know if they could have gotten, you know, had any more breaks go their way last year. They're listed at 8.5 wins, 49th strength of schedule. And I don't know how anybody could possibly be like, oh yeah, they're gonna repeat next year. You know, they go 5-1 in 1-score games. That's just not gonna happen. They're not gonna get to that level again. I mean, and I'm a big believer in Brian Brohm, and I think, you know, that's, you know, that's was the correct move for them. And they had an incredible year last year. But yet again, sitting here, you're buying these teams at their absolute ceiling, right? And that's something that is not talked about a lot. When you're looking for value, you can't be looking at the absolute ceiling. You just can't. You have to, you know, like my favorite example all year, as I've spoke about this many times, is simply SMU at 7.5 wins, 117th in strength of schedule. Now, I get it. There's a lot of pushback that they have not played Power Four teams well in the past. And I understand all that. And that is, you know, valid. But if I had to choose between them and Washington at 7.5 wins, it's not even a decision based off, you know, what we're looking at. You know, Washington goes 8-0 in one score games last year. And they lose Penix. They lose their whole coaching staff. They bring in Jed Fish. Great coach, though, mind you. But, like, the transitional phase, it has 6-6 or 7-5 written all over it. I can't wrap my brain around it. And so when we're looking at the strength of schedule, the most important thing to me is that we are looking to find a pathway for playoff teams. And I know that that's more, you know, people are like, oh, well, when we're splitting hairs at the end of the year, whoever played a better record or whoever played a better schedule and has more quality wins, you know, that's going to matter. Well, it will to an extent, but even if you, like, give you an example with the Ole Miss, Tennessee, Missouri area of the SEC who plays very weak strength of schedule, if they get to 11 wins, which would be 1.5 over expectation, which is not a gigantic leap by any means, they will make the playoffs. 11 wins in the SEC, regardless if they, you know, didn't play the hardest schedule in the SEC, you know, they play Alabama, Texas, Georgia, that is irrelevant. They get to 11 wins, they're in. And the pathway, you know, is there. And, you know, they won't have to exceed expectations by a large margin. So the strength of schedule piece and finding the pathway to the playoffs for these teams is crucial. And some of the teams that really, you know, are going to struggle are those teams that have a hard strength of schedule, no continuity, and you know, just they're going to have their regression statistics. And anybody who is backing these teams, I can't get around it. I'm not going to sit here and act like, oh, yeah, they're going to, you know, all these teams are on equal playing field and they can make the playoffs. And it's just not real. It's not going to happen. You know, you have one, two, looks like seven or eight SEC teams projected could win 10 or more. That's how they're going to cannibalize each other's records. And you need to realistically find a team with the best path there. It doesn't matter if Alabama goes 9-3 and they have some of the best wins on the year. If one of these other teams is 11-1, that's going to be the team that makes it. That's just it. That's just it. And those type of scenarios are littered all the way throughout college football. You know, I look at like Utah, 9.5 win total. Their strength of schedule is 89th overall. Big question marks across the board because Cam Rising is back for his 13th season. He's, you know, 46 years old, basically. But again, if Utah runs the table and does well in the Big 12, you know, there's not a lot more standing in their way if they get to 10 or 11 wins in a champion and play in a championship game. You know, that's going to be something that really stands out amongst their peers. And these are the type of teams I'm going to be targeting going into, you know, your playoff round robin parlays, your, you know, chance to win or make the playoffs, you know, things like that. And as you can see in any of the episodes before and any of the articles I've written, I'm not targeting teams who have an impossible path to make, to navigate. I'm not a masochist. I'm not trying to make something that's already difficult even more difficult. You know, It's already hard enough. Like, and so that's why, you know, I look at, you know, some of the teams I've projected for winning their conferences, and every single one of them, the pathway is there. They have a viable path. They do not have that many obstacles to get over, and that matters. Now, obviously, ESPN is going to put out the strength of record formula at some point in the season, and that's all well and good. I don't really care about that. I think, you know, it's an okay metric when it comes to debating whether or not a top 25 team could or how they would fare against this schedule or whatnot. And that's fine. You know, like, that's all projection, and I have no issue with that. I'm more apt to lean into the team total strength of schedule simply because I'm going with what Vegas has put out, and they're the best at what they do, and there's no reason to act otherwise. Now, that's going to pretty much sum it up for the episode. I feel like this was a kind of a rambling style episode, but I just wanted to dive into those differences and what, you know, the mainstream looks at strength of schedule for being and what we're looking at. And then some of the outliers when it came to some of the teams that are ranked higher up and are projected to either make the playoff or compete for their national or for their conference championship. And this is one of many variables that I take into consideration when I'm looking at these teams. And it does matter, and I lean into it a little bit more than your normal like analyst would, because just because a team is good enough and is talented enough, if they do not have a pathway to making either their conference championship or the playoff, then they're not going to make it regardless of the talent. And as we all know, it's not always the most talented team that wins a national championship or wins their conference. You know, it's the team that probably was talented enough. That's what matters. You just got to be good enough and had the, you know, most viable path. All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it for today. We're kind of rounding up the rest of our content. We have numerous other things to dive into. I'm working on the Heisman piece. I'm looking at possibly doing college football props for players if I can find the lines available. Unfortunately, they're not available in my state. You know, and just a couple other more nuanced pieces to put out before we start the season, which is less than 3 weeks away. So as always, if you want to reach out and touch base with me or have any questions or comments or suggestions even, you know, you can always reach me on Twitter or you can email me at themittnermethod@gmail.com. And other than that, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care. Thank you.